In two of the three parables today, Jesus talks about his field. His field is the whole world. So the question comes up, what's our field? What's your field? Maybe it's your family, or your work, or your school. Maybe it's your parish, or a ministry that you're part of. Jesus is talking about his field, but let's keep in mind and remember our field as well, as we let these powerful parables sink into our minds and our hearts. So that parable about the mustard seed, the second of the three, it's the Messiah who is the man who sows the grain of mustard seed. Notice he sows a single grain. As tiny as the grain of seed is, it almost seems impossible, at least for a human sower, to sow just a single grain. But that's what Christ does here. In the parable last Sunday of the sower and the seed, Christ was scattering the seeds of the gospel in abundance over the whole world. But here he takes one tiny, tiny grain and he plants it in his field, the field of the world. Jesus likes to emphasize little things. A grain of mustard seed, a tiny sparrow, the little children, the hidden yeast. The devil likes things to be big and splashy, eye-catching, to drown out anything else. But his works are empty show. Christ overlooks nothing and no one. He pays attention to everything and forgets nothing. That first reading from Wisdom talks about God's being all-powerful, not just really strong and really powerful, but all-powerful, because he's all-powerful. We would think that, he should just control everything. Because he's all-powerful, he lets us have our freedom. He lets us experience his mercy, because he can still hold us together. Earlier, Jesus spoke on the virtues of salt. Now he's teaching us the importance of mustard. Little by little, he's setting the table for his wedding feast in heaven, which has as its main course the bread and wine become his flesh and blood, the intimacy with his very person. In the book of Genesis, we're told there that God planted a garden, and in the midst of the garden, the tree of life. Now again, God, in the person of Jesus, plants a tree, or maybe a great bush, as it's called, and he calls all of us to take refuge under its shade. It's not the largest of trees. It comes from the humblest of seeds. Can we humble ourselves? Can we become little enough to take refuge under his tree, this bush of the kingdom? In this parable, Jesus proclaims that all the kingdoms of the world must be radically relativized, because from now on, their chief task is to prepare the way for the establishment of God's messianic kingdom of justice and love, symbolized by this big bush. In some ways, the opposite of Jesus planting the mustard seed would be humanity building the Tower of Babel, which wants to reach to the heavens, a great monstrosity of brick and stone and mortar. It was an act of pride and arrogance, acting apart from God, indeed, in opposition to him. The Tower of Babel and all the kingdoms of the world fall and disappear. The kingdom of God, with its tiny beginnings, is eternal. That laser focus of Jesus on the littleness of the mustard seed transforms it into a messianic symbol of the kingdom of the heavens. It's a good lesson for all of us. Can we humble ourselves to care for the little things, the little ones in our lives? Can we so concentrate our faith on one thing, however small, trusting God to use that and transform it as He will? Maybe that means we just pick one virtue and pray to grow in it and then work to grow in it, letting it become a mustard bush that provides shelter for us against the evil one. The third parable there, the woman mixes yeast with 3 measures of wheat flour. It's an image of the church, again. 3 measures of wheat flour would make enough bread to feed 100 people. You and I are the wheat flour. Big, dull, earthly lump. The equivalent of the field in the other two parables. As the lump of flour, we get transformed, we get raised, when our mother, the church, literally hides leaven within. The leaven is Christ Himself. The church proclaiming Christ to all people in the field of the world. And when we let even a little of the truth of Christ, of the gospel of Christ, take root in our soul, and when we let the Holy Spirit rain down on us, water us, it's enough to bring real and lasting conversion. The parable of the weeds and the wheat is at the beginning and interpreted at the end of the gospel. So here at the end, I want to say just a little bit about it. Jesus sows good seed in His field, the field of the world. And He is singularly undisturbed that His enemy, the devil, has sown seeds in the field. Knowing the devil, He knew that he would. But Jesus has faith in the richness of the soil that He created, and the richness and the power of the gospel that He proclaims. He has faith in the power of His mercy raining upon the field, that His wheat won't get lost. And that it's even possible that some of the weeds would have a conversion and be transformed into good wheat. And there's also this incredible aspect of this parable about His mercy, His all power, because He can use even the weeds that can sometimes harm and choke the wheat to make the wheat stronger. That happens in our lives all the time, right? St. Paul says the same thing. I asked the Lord 3 times to take away from me this trial, this suffering, and He said, no. In weakness, power reaches perfection. The Lord will use all things to bring about good. In that parable, He tells His slaves, the master, the owner, tells His slaves, and that's you and me, not to pull up the weeds because it could harm the wheat. We can't always tell who is wheat and who is weeds. And by telling us not to be the judges or the harvesters, He's telling us just strive to be good wheat. And by your being good wheat, maybe you'll convert the weeds all around you. What are we doing to be good wheat? What are we doing to receive the leaven of Christ into our lives? Are we taking refuge in the branches and the shade of the mustard bush that is the church? When we read the gospel, we're inviting Christ's leaven deep into our hearts. When we stop by the church for just a few minutes of prayer, we're taking refuge in her shade. When we seek out the sacrament of reconciliation, we're letting the mercy of Christ rain down upon us and transform us from weeds into wheat. Wheat that at the completion of the age will shine like the sun. So here's the homework for the week. Stop by the church sometime this week for a few minutes of prayer to rest in the mercy and the love of our God.